The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to him, John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to start by saying thank you to Charlotte for inviting me to join you this weekend. Charlotte and I overlapped at Yale Divinity School by a year. And as luck would have it, her best friend Andrew, who preached at her installation a little while ago, is also my fiance. So I'm very happy to be joining you all this weekend. One thing people learn about me pretty quickly is that I am a huge Star Trek fan. Growing up, I was obsessed with The Next Generation and would spend the day after a new episode feverishly discussing it with friends. We would build model starships together, sometimes from an official model kit, and sometimes handcrafted out of paper plates we had on hand. And I was the first one in line for every movie premiere. So imagine my delight and surprise when, in 2015, CBS announced it was creating a new series, Star Trek Discovery. Finally, after over a decade, there was going to be new Star Trek on television. In the years that have followed, we've gotten more and more new shows, and even the recent announcement of a new movie. We really are in a new golden age of Star Trek, and for nerds like me, it is an amazing time to be alive. It's true. Even with all the goodness that Star Trek is bringing us, these new series have its naysayers. There's a vocal community online who derisively refer to these series as New Trek, with new spelled N-U, just to make it clear which side of the debate they're on. And part of this criticism stems from the fact that these new series are tonally very different from the ones that came before and from each other. Star Trek's Discovery and Picard are dark and gritty, serialized adult dramas, while Lower Decks is an adult animated comedy. Sure, they all exist in the same universe as each other, but they're telling very different kinds of stories that some fans have had difficulty relating to. Another part of the criticism is rooted in something a little more uncomfortable. These new shows feature women, people of color, and members of the LGBTQ community as prominent main characters. Now, as a member of the LGBTQ community, I can't tell you how exciting and important it is to not only see myself still existing in the future, but also represented in my favorite franchise. But for some, the inclusion and celebration of different kinds of people is nothing more than liberal wokeness gone awry, leading them to proclaim that New Trek isn't really Star Trek, and fans of these new shows aren't really Star Trek fans at all. This is a phenomenon known in fan communities as gatekeeping, when certain people declare themselves to be the arbiters of what a real fan looks like, and who's in and who's out. And lest you think gatekeeping is something new, we see it here in today's gospel, written nearly 2,000 years ago. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." John is very concerned with protecting the boundaries of his community and determining who's a part of it and who isn't. Probably because he's recognized that following Jesus is something special, something unique. And he doesn't trust that another approach might be just as valid as his own. As commentator Harry B. Adams says, "The church community is bound together not just by common interest or mutual enjoyment, but by convictions about the fundamental issues of human existence." He goes on to say, "When we deal with such fundamental and significant issues, it often becomes more difficult to be sensitive and accepting of those who have different convictions." End quote. John assumes he has every reason to be able to make such distinctions. As a member of Jesus' inner circle, he probably thinks he knows all there is to know about Jesus' teachings, that there couldn't possibly be anything else for him to learn. But then John says something curious to my ear. "We tried to stop him because he was not following us." Us. John has made the assumption that because he's a part of that inner circle, he and his friends are also leaders in the movement that people are following, that they are a part of what others are drawn to. Jesus, however, is having none of it. Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." There is so much to unpack in just these two sentences, but I'm only going to focus briefly on three things. First, Jesus says, "Do not stop him." In effect, he's saying to John and to anyone close enough to hear, "Who are you to decide who gets to be a part of the movement? The power to decide who's in and who's out does not belong to you." Second, Jesus is gently putting John in his place, reminding him that as the Son of God, Jesus is the center of their movement. John may be a part of a select few who are especially close to Jesus, but Jesus points out that no one is casting out demons in John's name. The power to do good doesn't come from anything other than the name of Jesus himself, a name that in Hebrew literally means God is salvation. Lastly, Jesus takes a saying we know well and inverts it. "Whoever is not against us is for us." Yes, there are some who actively oppose Jesus and what his ministry is teaching, namely those people who are in power, who have something to lose. But he reminds those listening that anything other than active opposition is, in fact, support. If people outside the group are doing something in Jesus' name, and that something is good, then who can possibly say that they are not following Jesus? By limiting the size of the movement based on imagined criteria and a narrow, self-centered focus, John's gatekeeping is doing more harm than good. Gatekeeping, as a phenomenon, is really only about one thing: the need for power and control within a community. This typically comes from a place of insecurity, of not knowing how to hold on to what makes us, us, when faced with the diversity of the world. When we create categories of us and them, who's in and who's out, we insist that our own perspective is the only perspective. We're attempting to preserve the balance of power as we've known it up until that point, a balance that tends to favor us. Jesus highlights the dangers of this in the second half of today's gospel. To be sure, the language here of maiming ourselves for the sake of the kingdom is a shocking one, and I think it is meant to be. Jesus is highlighting the dangers of being a stumbling block to anyone who sees what he's doing and wants to be a part of it. There is danger, says Jesus, in blocking the path of those who may turn out to be his followers after all. And it is good for us to sacrifice whatever we need to in order to get out of the Spirit's way as she brings people to the church and to Jesus. So, how do we hold on to what matters when we encounter a perspective different from our own? Well, answering that question requires that we do the hard, introspective work, both personally and as a community, figuring out what it is we believe and trusting it enough that when we encounter a new perspective, we aren't compelled to respond reactively and exclude anything different or new. It also requires us to listen and learn and accept that maybe, just maybe, we don't always have all the answers, and that it's possible to learn from those who have tried things a different way. If I love new Star Trek and you don't, that doesn't mean we both don't love Star Trek. It just means that we have a different perspective on the things that matter to us. And this is good. If all of our entertainment, or for that matter, our worship, looked identical in every place, we'd only have one narrow view of the world and of what the Spirit is up to in it. In fact, Star Trek has a saying for this: infinite diversity in infinite combinations. It's a Vulcan philosophy that celebrates a diversity of opinions and radical equality. By coming together as a community through meaningful and deep conversations, by acknowledging the validity of another person's narrative, we learn and grow, becoming more than the sum of our parts. We become the salt, enhancing the qualities of our community we want to emphasize most, whatever they may be. So, love broadly. Listen to those whose perspectives are new. Examine what you believe. Invite everyone in to share it. And most importantly, remember that this can be difficult work. So, like Moses, don't try to do it alone, and be humble with yourselves and one another. Live long and prosper. Amen.